Oh, Mark.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Jeez, I just creamed everywhere.
You're more excited than I am. Holy smokes. This is a big moment for me.
It's about to happen.
Oh, smokes.
Holy You've had smoke. The whole day. You could have just done this discreetly in the corner by yourself.
No, I didn't. I wanted to wait.
You could have.
I could have. But here we go. Anyway, I've probably cut in the cold open somewhere, but the reason I am so excited is the last time I had a beer was 76 days ago, and believe it or not, I was almost 20 kilos heavier.
You're a fat ass.
Well, yeah, I was a big chunky. I was carrying a bit of timber.
I reckon...
Nothing wrong with carrying a bit of timber, some of those people, unless, you know, it's bad for your health.
Yeah, I put it this way, like, if someone didn't know you and was to point you out from across the street,
yes,
they might go, like, oh, the guy with the beard, but they might have said... The chubby guy.
The fat dude. Well, the people I've seen on the podcast.
I don't know if they would have gone like the fat guy, but at least they might have gone the chubby guy.
Yeah.
So nowadays they're not going to go like, hey, the chubby guy.
The portly gent.
Yeah, you were portly before.
I fit the script of a sort of a round, happy person.
Yeah, it was you to a T.
Yeah, exactly. And well, I was okay with it. And if you're a little bit rounder as well, there's nothing wrong with it. But I've just completed the 75 hard challenge. And yeah, over the course of this.
Which means 75 days, no drinking, no snack foods.
Yeah, no cheat meals. Basically, pick a diet and
you
got to
exercise a couple times a day.
45 minutes a day. No, an hour and a half a day for two 45 minute sessions.
Yeah.
One of them has to be outside.
And you
read 10 pages of a book each day, drink a gallon of water, take a progress photo every single day.
Sounds American if you're drinking a gallon.
Yeah, so it's about 3.75 liters.
Liters, okay.
And so that was a while ago. So this, but I, of all the things that I love in life, alcohol is one of them. So it was a little tricky getting through that. But cheers, Mark.
You've been on the non-alcoholic beers, but you could finally indulge.
The sweet taste of alcohol again.
It's a beer.
There it is. Oh, it's good.
Is it?
It's
How
good.
Is that? Because like
it is good. Oh,
you
God.
Know, I used to smoke, and sometimes after a long time not smoking, I would give in to a smoke. But that first smoke after not smoking is always
it's
disgusting.
Different.
It's gross.
Different. Like, and I've been having non-alcoholic beers, and they don't hit. They don't hit the same way. Like, they're fine. There's some nice non-alcoholic beers. But the actual, when it hits your lips, it's so good. To quote Frank the Tank, it's a good thing.
Well, these are actually non-alcoholic.
Yeah.
Didn't hear you with that one?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Oh, exactly. The whole job, so, you sick. No, I checked, by the way.
Okay.
All right. Oh, no, but there you go. So that's my first bit. My big fear, though, Mike.
Well done, Tony. Just give
you
a wee round of... Well, is it a round? It's a single applause.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's a single person
you.
Applause.
Thank
you. Yeah, you've done well.
We've had it. Yeah, so for those people commenting going, what's happening to Tony? Because there's been a few comments of like... He's
lost a few kegs.
Lost a bit of timber. So thanks to those people. But yeah, that's what was going on.
So now it's back to fat, Tony.
Yeah, straight back to it. Straight back to it. No, I don't want to. I want to keep. I'm writing up a
manifesto.
A contract with my fiance.
Okay.
She's done it. She doesn't mind if I put on a little bit of weight, but
right.
I don't want to put on weight. Like, if I weigh, so I got down to 89 kilos. So I was 109 kilos at the start on January 8th,
which is heavier than I was at the time.
And now I'm 89 kilos.
Yeah, so you've gone from about being 10 kilos heavier than me to 10 kilos lighter.
Yeah, right.
Which is massive.
Yeah, it's a few kicks. But I'm writing up a contract now with my fiance that if I'm more than 90 kilos...
More than 90.
If I'm more than 90 kilos when we get married, I'm going to owe her $2,000.
Holy hell.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
Just keep myself honest. Doing the marathon later in the year. That's the plan.
Gonna film it. You're gonna get some content out of that. Put the GoPro on.
Just sounds like too much work.
Yeah, it is a lot of work.
Yeah. You wanna? Why don't you just chase me? You're gonna do the half though.
Who said that?
Yes, you're going to do the half. You'll be absolutely fine doing
that.
You have
to pay $175 to get into that thing.
I could just run 21Ks for free.
Exactly. I absolutely could.
Yeah.
Literally.
You don't get to run over the Harbour Bridge.
That's true. I've walked half of it.
No, as an Aucklander, it's actually a really cool thing to do, to run over the Harbour Bridge.
I've noticed there's a few people who call Aucklanders Dorklanders.
Oh, yeah?
That's real that's real cutting.
Jeffers?
I don't mind Jeffer, but Dorklander. Come on. You could do this. It's like...
Dorklanders.
It's like radical.
Yeah.
Gnarly. Dork. I don't know.
You dork. Yeah. 1993 wants its insult back.
Yeah, I reckon so. I like Jeffer a lot better.
Yeah, I don't mind being a Jeffer.
Yeah, Jeffer's quite good.
I don't give a shit that the rest of the country hates us. I really couldn't give a rat's ass.
I've just seen Dorkland a couple of times recently. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay.
I love all Dork New Zealanders. Dork
is a word I haven't heard for a while.
I love New Zealanders of all shapes and sizes. The only ones who really seem to have like a... like, when you go all different places in the country, people will go, wherever you are, Wellington or Napier or wherever, they'll be like, Auckland is whatever. But then, it's kind of in jest. But the only place where it feels a little bit more real, that there is, like, a real animosity towards you, is Christchurch,
yeah.
Which I feel like maybe that is going a little bit.
Maybe. There's so many of them up here.
Yeah, and they changed, and that city has changed so much.
Mm.
When was the last time you were down there?
Just before our first ever lockdown.
All right, so 2019.
The day after I left Christchurch, we locked down.
Right. But it's quite a funky, since the quakes were I used to spend a lot down there pre-quakes.
Right.
Used to go down there and work quite a bit, and they really hated us then.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like this kind of funky, bohemian-ish kind of... like all these cool murals everywhere. Like it's kind
maybe
of
it's partly because we've been so crap at rugby in that time.
Yeah,
they've been dominant over us.
I dislike all that shit, and this is why this year is stinging so much as well.
This weekend's result was brutal.
Oh yeah, it really was. Let's not get too carried away and talking about rugby. I know.
Jeez
Louise. Anyway, how are you doing?
Actually, whenever I'm out of Auckland and people ask me where I'm from in New Zealand, I feel like I need to be extra polite. I'm always very overly, maybe it makes me worse, maybe it makes me look more like an Aucklander, that I'm if I'm at a restaurant, I was at a restaurant in Napier, and I was real polite with the pleases and the thank yous, and the thank you so much, and instead of just oh, thanks for that, oh, thank you so much, this is great, you know what I mean?
Maybe you overdo it.
Maybe I'm overdoing it.
I spend
it.
So much time
I
traveling.
I feel self-conscious.
I don't give a shit.
Okay.
I go and... where I'm from.
Yeah, it's like, fuck, the Aucklanders here, bitch.
I'm like, where are you from?
I'm not waiting in the queue. Give me that latte, you motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly, you fucking sheep shagger. Get your fucking head out of that cow's ass. I'll say something like, where are you from? We're from with the place where that fucking pays for all the taxes to keep this fucking country running. No. But yeah, I most places you can sort of have a little tete-a-tete. I just beat myself.
You travel a bit more than I do, though. I
travel a lot. Yes. But, Mark, any swimming today? By the way, we just went on a run. How would you describe the run? Painful? Quick run. We did a quick run today.
You did a quick run. I did a run.
You cut some big ass corners.
I did. Otherwise, I'd still be out there. Yeah. I'd still be going.
How much, that big one that when you cut across that field, that field's 400 meters.
Oh, yeah.
You took about 400 meters
easy,
off the run.
Easy.
Because I was miles ahead of you. I was like, I bet I'm going to see that lumbering buffoon just coming across.
Yeah.
And then in the distance. Yeah. It was in the distance, but you could see you quite clearly the size of you.
Well, I was telling you just before we started recording that I got a glimpse of myself in a shop window for the first time. I've never seen myself in the midst of a run. It was 6Ks plus.
Yeah.
I'm sweating. I'm red as a tomato.
Yeah.
And then just I got a glimpse of myself and it was horrifying.
No, I think you're...
I said hello to a lady not long later and she did not say hello back. She had a look of just stay away from me.
You do. You have your cadence, I think, is really improving. Your efficiency in your run.
It's just practice, I guess.
Yeah.
I've never been a runner.
But you do have this... You get a very relaxed face when you're running, which is good. You don't want to waste that
Right. Well,
smiling apparently helps, and I think it does, but like your face almost kind of like just like this. So you just really look like, you look like your wife's just broken up with you while you're running. Like,
I look sad.
You've just heard some really terrible news. You're like,
yeah. Yeah, as I said, I got a glimpse of it and it wasn't pleasant.
No, it's just your face, you look sad, but your cadence has improved and your stride looks a lot better.
As I cut across that path.
But you maybe think of a few more happier thoughts rather than this fucking sucks.
Okay.
This, when will the hurting finish? And then I was a prick to you at the end and tacked on an extra 400 meters up a hill.
How far did you want me to go down that hill?
All the way.
I cut at the club. I cut that corner as well.
What a surprise, Mike. So you went just straight down. Well, that's okay.
So you got actually tempted to just wait around that corner for a couple of seconds, wait till you weren't looking, and then just kind of. So I wasn't quite that bad.
Shit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sneaky.
And then I would have come. I would have just sent you back.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was a risky play, so I didn't go for it.
Yeah, because I'd already done the loop, and then I was pointing, going, go that way, and you just went. No,
don't want to. I'm already at 7 kilometers.
No mas. Yeah. Oh, you did it.
Yeah, I did it.
Mark. Do you think I'm gonna be? This is my concern. Sorry, I was trying to say this before. Haven't drunk alcohol for 76 days. Usually, I've been pretty good, been able to hold my piss.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of that is generally due to the body mass that you're carrying.
True.
Am I gonna be a cheap date? You reckon?
Oh, you're gonna be right.
Yeah.
It's only beer.
It's only beer. Yeah, there we go. But Marky Mark, we have a fine organization this week. Same as last week's organization.
That's why I got repeat offender. Because we got a repeat sponsor.
Boom.
Thanks for the repeat offenders.
Thanks for that.
To the good folks at Sports Forecast.
Ba-boom. Oh, look, he's written a new script. Okay, so by the way, he's written in what he...
I wouldn't show Tony the script beforehand as well.
Okay. He's written something. I haven't read it yet, but this is deemed to be a My Voice, which I can only presume he's made me the antagonist in this role. The prick. I will say something obnoxious, and Mark, you'll say something that will be deemed reasonable. Is that basic? It
might be the case.
Let's see how we go. I've got notes.
Like stage directions.
I've got directions immediately. It says very dramatic. Okay.
And scene.
Mark! I don't know what to do with myself. The Six Nations.
Say it.
The self-proclaimed rugby's greatest championship.
That counts. I think that counts.
It's over. No more drama. No more dodgy TMO calls. No French flair. No Scottish heartbreak. I feel bereft. I feel empty. I feel as though my life has lost all meaning.
Is that actually what it said?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, it's close to what you said. Yeah, it's pretty close. Pull yourself together, man! Bam!
What's it slap?
This is slap.
Okay, no, the stage slap is this. So you go like this. There you go. So do it. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Mark.
Rugby still exists.
Does it?
Super rugby's on.
It is.
European club rugby's heating up. Mm. There's plenty to get stuck into.
Motherfucker, you're right. But it's not the same. I need stats. Insight. Something. Anything. To fill what I've been seeking my entire life. There's been a gap. There's been a space. I need to fill this void.
You need... Sports Forecast.
Ding, ding, ding.
They've got all the data. Super Rugby, URC, Top 14, International Previews. The works.
The works. All right, they do.
You'll find something on there to get you back on the horse now the Six Nations is over.
Fan-fucking-tastic. That's great. Back on the horse. Mate, after 75 days, I'm getting back on the There we go.
All right. Wait, that's your line. And thanks to Sports Forecast. Those beers are on the... Thanks to Sports Forecast, those beers are on the house tonight.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, Sports Forecast.
Thank you. Thank you, Sports Forecast.
Mike can't read very well.
It's okay, mate. You're operating at a seven-year-old level. All right, now I really love these guys. Thank you very much. Brilliant stuff. I do appreciate the beers. You bought me my first beer after 75 days, and he brought brilliantly red.
He's the repeat offender.
He's the repeat offender. I think maybe...
I was actually looking for some Tennant's Lager because he's from Scotland, but I couldn't find any in my local brew shop.
Where do you go?
I just went to the... is it a Super Liquor or... Well, it used to be a West Liquor on Lincoln Road.
Fresh Beer Brew, which is the same as the Fresh
Beer
Brew.
There's one on Lincoln Road. Yeah. And then there's another one on Universal Drive. Like near Trust Arena, there's another one.
I went up to buy...
There's like three liquor shops
I could go to. I bought some beers today as well. Although these are my first. And it was like I was literally reuniting with an old friend.
I thought you were dead.
I was like, he's a league. His name's Eden. He's a massive league fan. We just talk about the Warriors. And he was like, Where have you been?
I was so worried about you.
Yeah. He was like, you lost a bit of weight.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for that.
Cheers to Sports Forecast. We love you. And who knows? Sports Forecast might be back next week.
Who knows?
Or somebody else might step up and decide like they want to sponsor us with their small business.
We're very much on a... I feel like we're like one of those athletes that isn't quite good enough that we have to be on like a one-year contract. That's what we're on with Sports Forecast. It's a one-week-to-week contract.
Yeah, that's it.
I understand. But yeah, they've done 2 weeks, so that's more than enough if you want to...
If you want to stop... If you want to keep going.
If somebody else wants to jump on board.
Send me an email.
Send them an email. Yes, absolutely.
Where else would you get promotion like this for these kind of prices?
Exactly. We don't really get to really showcase our thespian shops that much. So that was really exciting. It really was. He wrote very dramatic at the very start.
Well, he got dramatic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was like a scene from Platoon. Anyway, fantastic.
It's a good movie.
It's a fucking great.
It's pretty dark.
Yes, it's very dark. Well,
I think was it what's the director's name?
Oliver Stone.
Yeah, he was in Vietnam, I think.
Yeah. I wanted to say Ridley Scott, but that's not true.
Yeah. Well, I think he was in Vietnam, so he had first hand experience.
Yeah, it's one of the greats. I'm also a huge fan of have you seen Full Metal Jacket?
Oh, that's dark. Yeah. Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Fucking brilliant.
This is my rifle.
Yeah.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was about to say a very inappropriate line, and it has language in it that you just can't say on a podcast that is as respectful as 2 cents gets distracted.
Rugby podcast.
Which
some people might be listening to us on Spotify right now.
Or iHeartRadio.
Or even Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
Or you can just watch on YouTube.
100%.
That's fine.
You're doing an ad for Vodacom today.
Well, the Bulls had a win, so I have done some work for Vodacom once.
Did you just?
Back when the URC was first starting up.
Should we start to talk about some rugby?
We can.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to do that now?
We could.
Okay.
You looked at me like you didn't really want to. I think I gave you a jarring segue from your Bulls jersey to saying we should.
Yeah, I don't know which avenue to go down.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm at sixes and sevens.
You slotted wrongly.
How do you reckon the Lions are going to go in Australia early on? We've just had the Six Nations, so we've kind of got an idea of where their players are at. They haven't selected a team yet, and then we've seen the Aussie teams in action at Super Rugby, and they're doing pretty well.
I think they're up for a massive challenge. I think...
Because if you'd said it 6 months ago, it's going to be a
bloodbath. But you just look across the Wallaby team right now and pretty high-class players in pretty much every position. The one question mark I still have, which is a pretty big question mark, is do they have that world-class 10 slot in there?
Because even their props are looking better than they did last year, which is encouraging. Because last year, I would have said that's a big issue. But for the British and Irish Lions, like, I'm not
sure. Some big banging Lucy's.
Tyke Furlong was injured most of the Six Nations. Andrew Porter was all right. You know, I don't know that they've got 100% settled.
Yeah, and if you look at the nations they've got to pick from, your Ireland are on a slide. We're going from two first to a third.
Mm-hmm.
England, who has still have a lot of poor performances and, you know, drop ball in them and, you know, are on the upward trajectory but still have a shocker, a Barry Crocker in them.
There's still some question marks for sure.
Scotland, who have show some wild class but have also show incredible inconsistency.
Mm.
And
Wales.
Wales, who are just
Jack Morgan.
Who are just a complete non-starter, essentially. And now, I'm sure you're going to make a world-class team, but you've still got to blend those players together.
Yeah, that's always
the
You've still got to
get
question.
Them on the same page. And these Australian players, the scary thing right now about Super Rugby is the New Zealand teams aren't looking as good as the Australian teams for the first time in a fucking long time.
Mm-hmm.
Of the top six teams, four of them are Australian.
This is true. That's all four Aussie teams.
We're never saying that. Like, and if you're a British and Irish Lions fan and you're thinking, oh, we're gonna be able to shit this one in, you may have another thing coming. There's some real, real quality coming through from the wings. Like, I love watching Jorgensen play. Like, he's a fantastic player.
He's still really young. He's only in his, like, 20?
Yeah, maybe? Yeah. Suwali is still a massive threat out there. He's injured, but, you know, he will be in and around the mix. I really think they're going to be able to put a solid back three together.
Yeah.
A solid back three and the Lucy's too.
Yep.
I like the look of Paisami. The only thing that I am a little bit concerned about them with is, like, is it Lolasia? Is it Donaldson? Have they got someone who's going to be able to get them to that level? Because
they got Lolasia for the Brumbies, who's going okay. Nobody's ever called that guy a world class 10.
Yeah,
but he's had the most international experience of all the other guys on offer.
Yeah,
Donaldson's playing all right for the Force. He's had tastes of international rugby.
Yeah,
likewise, Liner, the youngster from the Reds.
Donaldson seems to me he's got a really level head on him, which he may not pull off the freakish stuff, but he can.
Yeah, even he scored a nice try at the weekend. Yeah. He's got a little bit more gas about him than I thought he did.
At the Waratahs, they finish off the games with Tane Edmed these days.
Tane Edmed, yeah.
But I got question marks whether he's that quality either. Mm.
Even though the British and Irish, like, who's the British and Irish Lions 10 going to be? That decision's not clear cut.
Fucking throw, like, Marcus Smith is erratic. Finn Russell's erratic.
Right? Yeah, I mean, Smith, though, Smith. Russell is the favourite, I would say. But is he going to fit in with Andy Farrell's game plan, his mold, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, Russell's had the odd run-in with his coaches before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then will either of those players be able, like, Sexton played so well within the system that Farrell put in place, and it was like a real structured approach, like quick, fast.
Mm-hmm.
Always like, with those wraparound plays,
likes a 10 who takes the percentage plays, that's the right
it.
Options.
That's it.
And Marcus Smith.
Marcus Smith can't even get the England 10 job at the moment. He got dropped for Finn Smith, essentially. He got dropped to fullback and then on the bench.
So it could really come down to, like, which 10
fits Andy Farrell's game plan more than who is the best.
Well, and then looking at Schmidt 10. As well, like, which 10 actually follows the game plan the best? Which 10 is actually able to take the best approach to this, to the game, and pull the triggers when they need to and be able to follow the game plan when they need to? It's a huge, huge, like...
Yeah, 10 for both sides is a really interesting one.
Well, those front rows have been doing a lot better this year.
For sure. Alo Atoa was looking solid, even though the Brumbies lost at the weekend.
Taniela Tupou.
They got Tupou, they got Bell. So some of those guys are looking to find form. Even the Force guys are finding form at the right time, I think.
Much better than our All Blacks.
Yeah.
Our All Blacks, like, we'll talk about our All Blacks in a bit, but it's all on for young and old. Like, if you thought this was going to be a walk in the park coming down to Australia, like, this is the Aussies love been in a corner.
Mm.
Like, Schmidt's last dance in terms of maybe international footy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you can see that these these super rugby players are playing like there's a massive carrot out there, isn't
there? Well, I was looking at the stats. Like, the top tackler and top try scorer is an Aussie, Tizano, for the Force. The top carrier is Wilson from the Reds, like the number eight.
Yeah.
The top lineup guy is Nick Frost from the Brumbies. The top, like, second top run meter guy is like Tom Wright. They got a bunch of guys
and
who are competing with New Zealand guys who are usually night and day above everybody else.
And the New Zealand teams, a lot of them have fucking rocket up the ass at the moment.
Especially
the Blues. But we often say, wow, like, that's nice when they play each other. The, you know, the Force is going to be able to get the odd win over the bloody Rebels and all that sort of stuff in years gone by. But we're seeing the Reds beat the Highlanders.
Yeah, the Brumbies beat us.
Yeah, the Brumbies beating us. Like, most teams beating the Hurricanes. Like,
even the Drua pushed the Hurricanes in Napier.
Yeah,
like, the Drua travel terribly usually.
Yeah. So there's a lot of question marks around the New Zealand game at the moment. But, you know, for me, my main focus, I don't know what the situation is going to be for us in the French and what the French team is actually going to be over here.
That's also an interesting question. How are we going to go?
My big fear right now is whenever these New Zealand, the New Zealand teams have just, it feels to me like they're believing their own narrative that has been formed over the last 10 years, that when these, you know, traveling teams from the Pacific or Australia come to New Zealand, we show up and we show our class and we win.
Pretty much automatically.
We win. And then the big games are the big derbies, you know, and you're probably going to beat the Highlanders, but every other team is going to be like real hard fought, and those are the test match games, basically. That's that in sort of intensity. But the game of the lowest quality over the weekend was bloody Blues Crusaders
at Eden Park,
the big two.
Yeah.
And you know, I think
the highest skill game, I think, was the Waratahs Brumbies.
That was a cracking game.
That was an absolute cracker.
That was an absolute banger. So and the thing that worries me a little bit at the moment is that New Zealand teams seem to be completely folding at the first sign of adversity. You know, like, we've believed their own hype. They've come into these environments thinking that our teams just win. Our teams beat these other teams. And they go out there, maybe score like a quick couple of tries, and then take their foot off the gas, and we unravel and we're not good enough. And we just, dumb kicking, dumb fucking drop ball, like, just dumb rugby, a lot of it as well.
Well, we saw that even the Chiefs, they played Moana Pacifica at the weekend. I think they fucking 5-6 tries to 1 in the first half. And it's like, well, this game's dead and buried. And then Moana Pacifica basically flipped it on its head, took the Chiefs' bonus point away from them.
10 points with 10 minutes to go or something like that. And you think,
one more score for the Moana Pacifica guys and it's a game on. But
yeah,
didn't quite happen.
Yeah. Interesting, eh?
But that's the top side up against like the bottom side, and they still took the foot off the throat. So it's a little bit disconcerting.
Yeah. I think we're poor. I think we're looking really poor. We're playing like we're not playing for anything bigger than us. We're not playing team rugby. Seem like we're just out for each individual's just playing to play well themselves. But the Australian teams are just, you can get that feeling it's Lions year for them, don't you?
Well, you saw that in the Reds game against the Highlanders.
Yeah.
They were fired up for that one. They went out and just, they scored, I think, the opening two tries, and Kalani Thomas and Asiata, I think. Like, that's not supposed to be how the script goes. Like you said, when the Aussie teams come to New Zealand, we're supposed to just basically beat them pretty easily.
Yeah. 13 plus. Easy-ish, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there might be the odd game that they sneak up and get over, but this could be the first year in a long time, considering there was a 7-year run there for the Crusaders, that Super Rugby doesn't find a New Zealand home.
I'd love it if an Australian team could win it.
Yeah.
Because clearly we don't need to support the Blues right now. They're playing like shit.
Yeah. Well, we'll still support them. You know, jump off your team's bandwagon.
I know that. I've been there and done that many years.
There's still a mathematical chance that they get through.
We're just playing so bad.
They're playing so
Rico bad. Dropped the ball. Perifetta dropped the ball. Talia dropped the ball. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it seems like the complete antithesis to how they were playing last year.
Yeah.
Where they were just playing smart rugby, like
percentage plays,
getting down, playing good territory, good field position. Same, I was saying the same thing.
We lost 42-19.
Oh, yeah, ugly, eh?
Yeah, I don't even think the Crusaders played all right, but they didn't have to play that well.
No, they didn't. They didn't shoot the lights out.
We just had to, we made mistakes, and they'd be like, "All right, we'll take a try, thanks."
Yeah, yeah, thanks for that. And not a huge amount of grit showing on defense. Very depressing. I did yoga for a period, and I had a kind of squinting eye on the game.
Yep.
And they just kept on scoring tries, and then felt like we woke up a little bit in the last 10 to 15, but it was like too late.
Too little, too late.
And that was all she wrote. That was depressing.
How have we fallen out? Like, I mean, when the Crusaders fell off their cliff, you could kind of say, well, Rays is gone. There was at least partly an expression. They had a horrendous injury list. Well, like, we got some guys out for sure, but we still got the same coach.
But I feel like a big part of our game was that type five unit. So we don't have Tuipiloto, we don't have Dari, we don't have Tuinga Fasi. So that's three of your type five gone. And there's more type five.
Akira left. Yeah. He's in the loosies, but.
It's not looking great, is it?
No. We've had one win in six rounds.
How many rounds are there?
I don't remember, but we're on the bye next. Thank God for that.
We win. We'll find a way to lose that. We get the points for the bye, yeah?
Don't think they do points for a bye, no.
Oh, son of a bitch. In the NRL, you get points for your bye?
So you don't get depressed when you fall behind everyone else. That is so league.
Yeah. Well, it's the same for everyone. It's
just dumb. It's unnecessary.
It's exactly the same mathematically.
But it's just unnecessary. You're adding it's as necessary
as not having points. It's exactly
the
same.
No, it's an extra task. The team was on 12 points going into that round. If you leave them on the bye, you do nothing. If you give them points for bye, you are giving them a task to do.
Why are you giving them a task?
The scorers are having to do something. It's like
the year is 2025.
I'm just saying it's unnecessary. If you can't wrap your head around
people are like, oh, I can't believe I'm having to add like.
There's a human input there somewhere for sure.
I really don't, but people are having to input those scores anyway.
Yeah,
but
so do you think that on the bye week,
so you're worried about the graphic designers
I'm not worried about them. I'm just saying it's a task
it's
which
mathematically
adds,
exactly the same.
It adds no value.
It doesn't distract any value. It doesn't take away any value.
Why would you add a task which adds no value?
As a fan, it makes me feel better.
That's just stupid.
It does. I'm just like, oh, good. Because you go, because they do talk about it like. You want to, like, it feels really good to go.
So that's it feels really good.
But that's fucking that sport, man. We watch it because we want to feel good. And it feels
good. Yeah, my team didn't play and I got some points.
No, it feels good.
Love when my team's got a bye.
It feels good.
So dumb.
It feels good going into a bye with a win. They always want to go into a bye with a win.
So dumb.
And then you get another point. Going into a fucking bye with a loss and then you don't get any points. Yes, it's totally psychosomatic, but it still has an impact, you know? The placebo effect, all these sorts of things actually do have an effect on pupil and their moods.
On pupil, it's dumb.
Their pupils dilate. Yeah.
It's so dumb.
I love it.
No.
I'm a league fan, I'm a rugby, a union fan, and I really like the little, woo! Points for a bye. Everybody gets them. It's great. I wish we got them. Points for a bye, everybody.
Points for Let us know your thoughts on points for a bye.
It's all going to be a bunch of people down there fucking smoking your bowl.
Oh, I love it. Did you watch the Waratahs and the Brumbies?
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
You saw the suplex?
Yeah, belly to back. Full back.
Tom Hooper, what are you doing?
Yeah, he needed a top rope to go off.
No. What are you suplexing a guy for? You can't do that.
Yeah, he was. He looked like kind of perplexed.
Like, what it was wrong?
Yeah, what? He was fine.
Yeah, he didn't land on his head. Brought him down safely.
Yeah. Just the guy's face, though, when he like landed, who got suplexed.
Incredulous.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, it was great. But the Waratahs won. They haven't beaten the Brumbies in years.
13 years, apparently.
It's crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Waratahs.
They had a good wee crowd there as well.
Yeah. Rugby's on the up.
In Australia. Lions year. And then the Force flogged the draw 52-15.
Yeah.
Nick Dolly, the hooker, got a hat trick. Chrisicalo Desano got two. Harry Potter got two. The commentators used the line twice that he looks like magic.
Well, they were good tries.
Yeah, I know.
They were magic tries.
They were magic.
The chip. There's one where there's a chip ahead, and there was one where he just and they both
the weaving footwork. Unbelievable.
Yeah, mate. He was like doing Expelliarmus on everybody.
He really was.
How many spells can you recite?
He must have the thickest of thick skins.
Oh, poor guy.
He would have got so much. There's nothing you could say that's going to flap that guy's flappableness.
I was watching it, and then Lydia was outside having a dart. And then she goes, she was like, is that motherfucker's name Harry Potter? I was like, yes. And you just... she just thought it was the funniest thing. She was like, you are fucking kidding me. His name is Harry Potter.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's like, his name is Harry Potter. Then I was like, he was born.
We looked it up, right? It was like right around the time the first books came out.
He was born like 3 months before the first book. So his entire fucking life, as soon as he could comprehend language, people were going, Harry Potter.
Yeah, no. He's never not known a time where he's been the butt of a joke.
Oh, poor bastard.
Yeah, I know. Like, at least if Tony O'Sullivan got really famous now, you've had 40 good years.
Yeah, exactly. If Tony O'Sullivan came out as a book character, I'd be like, wow, I was around for...
Oh, I had a good years, you know.
Exactly. I was all right. Really made the most of my non-notoriety.
There you go.
But yeah, Harry Potter is just... And then to actually be a quality athlete.
He's a person of note.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not just some schmuck.
Yeah, like you and me.
Exactly right. But yeah, Super Rugby's looking good. Aussie teams are looking good. Like you said, the top two teams, though, are still Kiwi teams. The Chiefs and the Crusaders are 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But 3 is the Reds, 4 is the Tars, 5 is the Brumbies, and 6 is the 4. So literally all 4 of the Aussie teams are in the playoffs, and the Highlanders, Hurricanes, and Blues are all out the playoffs at the moment. Nobody was picking that at the start of the season.
Nobody.
Like, you might have had one of those teams to fall off a cliff. Like, maybe the Hurricanes don't play that well.
Yeah.
Force have never made the playoffs, I don't think.
Wow. Ever. So, but they've got... Now, this is one of those things that you don't want to say, but they've got a... Force haven't played a lot of New Zealand teams as of yet.
They've got... they got the Reds this week, so you know they haven't got New Zealand. I don't think they've come over this way yet.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, that'll be a test for them. But
Have they played New Zealand team yet?
I don't know. I can't think off the top of
my head. They played Moana Pacifica in the first round.
Yeah.
Played the Drua most recently. They won in Canberra.
Yeah. What a year. Maybe we need a bit of a mix-up year. And dare I say it?
Ooh.
Dare I say that could this be...
Bledisloe?
The year that we lose the Bledisloe. It's been 2003.
What were you doing in 2003?
We were young men.
Yeah.
We are now old.
We were 20 years old.
Yeah. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I hadn't even had my 21st day.
No.
Where
were you drinking? Were you going under the viaduct?
I'd go down to...
on a float bar.
The float bar, Loaded Hog.
Oh, yeah, Loaded Hog is a good one.
Loaded Spade. Danny Doolin's is still there.
Oh, yep. Danny Doolin's. Float bar's not there. I've been there for years.
Go down the Fox... Spent a lot of nights at the Copper Room in Takapuna on Wednesday nights. Big night Wednesdays.
I didn't drink on the shore.
Didn't drink on the shore. It was a good spot.
I used to go into float bar early to watch the rugby. And then by the time the rugby was done,
the party would start.
The party was starting. So I didn't have to queue to get in. I didn't have to have my shoes looked at to see if I was suitable to get in. I could look like crap and still get in.
Yeah.
I still put some effort in, but probably still look like shit, to be fair.
Yeah, when we were kids, we basically had to dress up like little businessmen.
Yeah.
It was so stupid.
You can't get in with those shoes.
Can't get in. You had to wear leather shoes and a bloody business shoe.
Yeah.
It was so
stupid. Sometimes you'd be like, I remember going to a bar with like 3 mates and the bouncer was just like, no, there's too many guys in here. You can't come in.
Too much.
You need some girls. And it's like, well, we're coming in to look for girls.
Exactly.
I don't have
girls.
They're
in there.
That's why I want to go in there. He's like, no, man, bring some girls and you can come in. I was like, what the fuck?
Any bitches around? No. I remember that being a bit of a thing. But you go in there to buy some alcohol. Yeah, but I remember going to, Backfield or Left Field. Do you remember that place? We would have been, I think Rick Saliso fucking owned it for a while. It got changed to another different name after a while.
What was that?
Providore as well.
Oh, Providore, yeah.
It was near Providore. And then, but then there was like, it was two levels, and then like we'd have them as someone would turn up with the wrong shoes. And then we'd all get in, and you go off the balcony, and then you'd throw your shoes down. And then they'd wear the shoes and come and meet you, and you'd just be sitting up there in your socks, just go, why are you wearing socks? Ah, oh, my mate, she's scum.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, see, after queuing for too many times and having mates get rejected for shoes, just used to go in to watch the rugby. It was just easier.
Yeah, right.
Just like, this is the bar I'm staying at.
Yeah.
Sometimes my mate would bring like Cuban cigars. Those things are fucking tiring to smoke.
You said the, yeah,
and you get really dry lips smoking those motherfuckers.
Yeah, you think you're a badass, and you're just like, oh man, I'm stuck with this thing for the next hour and a half.
It takes ages, and it's hard work.
He's in there. Mud's gone out.
Yeah, yeah. A bit overrated, I think.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I've had a few cigars, but I don't think I've ever been like a cigar man.
No.
You know?
Not really.
maybe I'll be a cigar. Or maybe I'll have a cigar before my next wedding.
There you go.
Yeah.
Have a cigar on the podcast.
Yeah, should we smoke cigars? What a year it's been, eh, Mark? Okay.
But yeah, Super Rugby's looking good.
Yeah, exactly. Have we talked about much?
We did.
We're
bigging up the Aussie teams, complaining about the New Zealand teams. Thank God we're on the bye.
Thank God.
The Drew are on the bye.
What the fuck are we going to talk about next week? The
Chiefs are on the bye. The Hurricanes have got the Tars. The Brumbies have got the Highlanders. So there's a couple of Trans-Tasman games, and then the Reds have got the Force, and the Crusaders have got Moana Pacifica.
Do we need a questions round next week or something?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Apart from the Lions, what else do you want to talk about rugby-wise? Or do you want to go left field?
We could talk about rugby league.
No.
What? Two wins in a row, baby. Let's go Waz. Up the Waz. Warriors, two wins, one loss so far. Had a terrible opener in Las Vegas where they looked like absolute dog shit.
What were the crowds like in Vegas?
Yeah, pretty good. They're like all traveling fans go from all over the world. Okay. So,
local fans in attendance or?
Nah, this, I don't know. I didn't take a census. But
I feel like all that's always optimistic when we're like, we're gonna sell the game over there.
Yeah, they're doing something.
Doing something.
Yeah.
Credit to people for doing something.
It's quite a cool, like a lot of traveling fans go over there and have a week in Vegas and have a great time. And
one of my good mates went to Vegas to play in the big poker tournament there one year.
Oh yeah.
He bombed out. Oh okay. But I think he got laid.
Well, it's pretty easy to get laid in Vegas.
I don't think it was a working girl.
All right, well done. So, all right.
It paid off for him.
What's that?
I think it paid off for him in one regard. He came rock climbing with me the other night.
Me? I didn't go rock climbing.
No, my
you mate pointed got, at me like that.
Okay. My mate who got laid in Vegas.
He's still living on that glory.
It did really well. He's married now with three children.
He did really well with his rock climbing?
Yeah, he's ballsy.
He's got. He took to it like a duck to water.
Yeah, he's kind of used to be a bit of a chubby dude, but he's lost a bit of weight. Got his ass up the wall. You should come one day.
I've got the strength of an infant. Yeah, I don't know about rock climbing. I've got too many other things I do.
Okay.
Golf, running, paddleboarding, being an international man of mystery.
Yoga.
Yeah, I do yoga. I can do plank pose. I know, I did crow pose. I've been getting a little bit better and a little bit better, like holding it for a little moment, and now I'm like holding crow pose for a couple of seconds now. You know what crow pose is?
No.
I'll show you after this.
Okay.
It's quite fucking...
Will it scar me for life?
Only if you fucking like touch me in a place I shouldn't, but that'll be scarring me. Just leave me alone and we'll be okay. So basically what it is, you get into a squatting position and then you put your hands down.
And then put your legs up.
And then you...
The legs are the crow's wings, are they?
No, and then you take your toes off the ground, and it's just your...
Oh, cool.
Yeah. We'll see if we can do it, eh?
Good job.
So you want to try it?
Sure.
All right. We're going to do some crow
pose. How much of the URC did you see at the weekend?
If 100% is literally everything that was I could have consumed...
You can't have seen 100% because like 9 minutes of Ospreys and Connick went missing.
Okay. I'm just giving you a scale.
Okay, yeah.
So... Let's say 100%, excluding the 9 minutes.
Yep.
Is everything.
Yep.
I watch exactly, mathematically, 0%.
Wow.
0%.
Do you remember that round of Super Rugby where basically all the games were close?
Yes.
The URC was like that. We had
We had some bum squeakers.
2017, 28-25, 35-34, 21-18.
Okay. Don't tell me the teams that played and I'll tell you who won.
Okay. Ospreys played Connacht at home, so...
The Ospreys got up in a good win for them.
Yeah, it was 43-40.
Yeah.
That's the game that had the missing highlights.
And it was a good win to get one at Connacht for them. That's a good win.
Yeah, well, that puts the Ospreys still in the playoffs.
So, yeah. Okay, good.
So, right, good nice on you. The Dragons played Ulster.
Dragons started well, but Ulster came home hard.
Jeez, you're like a prophet. The Dragons literally scored in the first minute. And Ulster won at 34-30.
Boom!
The Dragons have only had one win
all season. Did they come home with a wet sail?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, the Dragons had this weird try they conceded where they were, like, trying to run it out their own 22. And the fucking Ulster reserve tight head prop just, like, ripped the ball at the breakdown and was just like, what the fuck do I do? And he just powered for the line and just scored a try. It was the most bizarre try I've seen all weekend. Yeah, he's great. It's Scott Wilson. Keep an eye out for him. He's great.
Scotty.
The only game that didn't have a losing bonus point was the Scarlets game against the Stormers.
Stormers won that one.
Yeah, away from home. 29-17.
Pretty convincing. Yes. So I'm 3 from 3 here.
3 from 3. The Bulls played Leinster at home in Pretoria. That's...
I think...
I might be giving the game away, to be honest.
The Bulls got up.
They did. 21-20.
4 from 4, bitch.
Literally a last-minute penalty to win that game.
Well done, Bulls.
The Bulls...
That's a great win.
Basically, I mean, at least they didn't send their best side. And the Bulls have got a few guys out as well. But the Bulls didn't play that good, but their scrum basically just got penalties every single time.
Tiddly, I've got to be honest.
There you go. Just like the Bulls getting scrum penalties.
Yeah, all right. Fantastic.
Benetton took on Edinburgh.
Can you give me the score?
One team scored 18 points.
Mm-hmm.
Another team scored 21 points.
Oh, wow.
The team who was leading at halftime ended up losing.
So Benetton had a great first half against the Otters and looked likely, but just couldn't quite come home against... Edinburgh, who got up.
This is your first wrong one.
Fuck me, dead.
It was the other way around. It was 13-11 halftime Edinburgh, but 21-18 full-time. Edinburgh had a late red card.
Damn it.
So, yeah.
Damn it. I thought my rationale was quite...
The Benetton guys won it pretty much with a minute to go.
Well done, Benetton. So, well, that's a great result.
Yep. The Sharks played Zebre.
Sharks won that one.
What do you reckon the margin was?
Closer than it should have been.
1 point.
Well, there you go.
35-34.
Okay, so I'm 5-1 here.
It was a pretty late. It was a conversion at the end that won it for the Sharks.
Gee, that
the Sharks dropped a stupid amount of balls. Zebre have actually been playing all right this year.
But traditionally, they're the Bunnies, yeah?
They are 15th out of 16 teams. But, like, the Dragons are on 9 points.
Yeah.
Zebre's on 27.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the playoffs, you could be in the playoffs at 33 points. So to be on 27 is not that far away from the 33 of the playoffs. So the Zebra are not that far off the place, which is great.
Good on you, Zebras.
They are playing probably the most fun rugby of anybody.
Well done.
They're just chucking it around.
Love it.
Glasgow played Munster. Reigning champions against the former reigning champions.
Where'd they play?
Up in Glasgow.
I reckon my boys, the Munster men, got up for that one.
They were looking likely.
Are you fucking kidding me?
They were leading for 60 minutes.
Oh.
But they lost.
Damn it.
Couple of late Glasgow tries.
So I'm 5-2.
Final one, Cardiff played Rian's team, the Lions, in Cardiff.
Now this is tough.
This is tough.
Score?
One team scored 20 points. That was the winning side. The losing side had 17 points. It was a couple of tries each. The difference is only a single penalty.
Look, sorry, Rian, but I'm going to say that Cardiff have been playing well this year, managed to get the chocolates.
And you're right. Yeah, Cardiff got it done at home. They had kind of a gift try where the Lions passed this one pass that was like, just don't pass it because there's a Cardiff guy right there. And it's a winger, and they pass it to him, and he was just like
6-2 from not knowing.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
And they're all tight games, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A couple of the 1 point.
But that was Leinster's first loss of the season. The
Sharks game, I did not pick it to be.
That's right. And Leinster's first loss of the season is pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But like Leinster on 58. There's a real logjam between fifth, which is...
I will admit that I said, oh, the Bulls. And you said, yeah, they got to win this week.
Yeah, so that one kind of gave it away. But yeah, Cardiff are on 35, which is in the playoffs easily. It's fifth spot.
Uh-huh.
But then, like I said, Zebras on 27. So the gap between fifth and 15th
is
only 8 points. I watched some of them. I didn't watch all of them. I watched the highlights of all.
Far out.
I watch a fair bit of rugby. There's even Women's Six Nations, which has started, and I'm still catching up on those games. I've only seen half of Ireland against France. Are you watching Women's Six Nations? Let us know.
Yeah, please do. We will cover it on this podcast, the World Cup.
I want to watch the Women's Six Nations to kind of prep myself for the World Cup.
World Cup mustn't be that far away next year.
This year.
Ooh, exciting times. I can't wait for us to really enjoy it and getting super excited about it. And then nobody gives a shit. Watch us when we talk about women's sport, you pricks. How's that? Yeah, speaking of pricks, I watched Snow White the weekend.
I've heard mixed things about Snow White.
I heard I took my daughter and she absolutely loved it.
Right.
She thought it was awesome. She really did.
Okay.
And you know what? She's the fucking target audience.
Yes.
Like a bunch of
40-year-old men.
Not 40-year-old men rage baiting about woke shit. That's not the, they're not the target audience. And
she's not white.
Like the actress didn't do herself any favors and came out and said, this is not the 1934 fucking, like.
Yeah, she kind of shat on the original. Eh?
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen a little bit about it. The main two things I've seen.
That's fine. It's good.
She's not white.
Who cares?
And she shit on the original.
Yeah.
And that she's not as pretty as the queen. Like traditionally Snow White's supposed to be more beautiful than the queen.
Yeah, yeah.
But people were saying the queen's more pretty. And something about Peter Dinklage saying, like, you can't put dwarves in movies or some shit. I don't know.
Well, yeah, they've been CGI. So there's a couple of strange topics, but it's made for little girls, and little girls love it. And it was actually fine. It was good. It was absolutely fine. And the fact that a bunch of freaking, like, middle-aged men are raging about, like, a bunch of cultural warrior shit around it. Like, fuck off. Like,
the only thing I don't like about the Disney stuff is...
It's fucking Snow White, dude. Fuck off.
They keep remaking all the old animated, like all the old cartoons as like just live action movies. And I just...
100%.
Like, I just don't care. But like,
it's just... And it doesn't have... The movie doesn't have any sort of woke undertones or anything like that.
Okay.
Like, it's just a fucking Snow White. And it's fine. It's absolutely fine. You know how you get dragged along with these movies and you're like... That was fine. That was good.
Whatever. I went to see, it's a month ago now, but I went to see Nilaja 2.
Oh, yeah?
Which is the highest-ranked animated movie of all time, and I think the fifth most highest-grossing movie of all time. Yeah.
Is that the Lego one?
No, it's the Chinese movie about this mythical dude.
Oh, like a how demon is that? Kid.
It's pretty fucked up for a kid's movie. Yeah, like... Chinese,
you take your kids?
Yeah, my daughter cried.
Madison's a massive crier of movies. Like, yeah. The mum and the dad die very early in Snow White. Madison's just... Oh, God. She's like sobbing. Like
I cried in Lion King, the original one, when I was a kid. I remember crying.
I remember when I met...
Like, not bawling, but I remember having a tear come down my eye and being a bit... Because I saw it with my mates.
Yeah, yeah.
Twins, Sanjeev and Rajiv Naidu. And the teachers could never tell these kids apart, but I could. But yeah, I remember wiping a tear away to make sure nobody could see me crying.
Yeah, I remember when I, with the Lion King, I don't remember, it's emotional when Mufasa dies.
I remember when Scar got beaten. Nah, just joking.
Yeah, I could have been such a great ruler. If only they listened to him.
Yeah, no, when Mufasa died.
So damn hyenas. but I remember when I met my first wife, my father had passed away. She never met my father. My father passed away in 2013. And then I met my ex-wife in 2013.
Okay.
And then I went to her place and she was like, what do you want to do? And she was like, do you want to, we can watch a movie or something like that. And I was like, yeah, cool. And then she was like, what do you like this or like that? And then we somehow settled on The Lion King. I was like, I fucking love The Lion King.
Yeah.
It's great. It's fantastic. And then, it's a great film. So I was like watching
all
it.
Those Disney
But then I was like, my father had passed away like months before.
So you're watching a movie about and then he loses his father.
He loses his dad. I'm just like, daddy.
Oh, that's brutal.
That was a little bit much. Yeah. But it showed that I was an emotional, a sensitive.
There you go. You've got a soul and you've got emotions.
Exactly.
My father's still alive, so it didn't quite bite as much.
Well, you were younger too. My father would have been alive when you first watched it.
Yeah, true.
Mm. Yeah, my father had just passed away, and I was like, why did I choose to pick a film about someone losing their father?
Yeah.
Anyway, Mark.
Brutal.
A little movie chat for you, a little bonus movie chat for you at the end
what's
of the
What's your
podcast?
Favorite movie? Like, if you had to watch a movie, what's your go-to movie?
Go-to movie. I don't know. I, kind of want to say something, very indie and very cool,
mm-hmm.
but I just always think Forrest Gump.
Yeah, Forrest Gump's a great movie. You can watch that over and over again.
Pretty perfect film. I think there's just so much relatability to that character. There's just so much great things that happen. It's just such beautiful
very
storytelling.
Quotable film.
Yeah, it's lovely. So it's just a really, really amazing film. I always, when everyone asks me that question, I always just think Forrest Gump.
Yeah, true. It's a good movie.
Yeah. I like that. It's a good film. What about you?
Die Hard. I watch it pretty much every year.
I really like...
the original one. I don't really care for anything past the third
one. So is that your Christmas movie?
Mm-hmm.
I watch Plane, Trains and Automobiles every Christmas.
I don't know if I've ever seen that.
That's fucking great.
It's a comedy, right?
Yeah, it's because Steve
Race
Martin.
Race around the world?
No, it's Steve Martin and John Candy. So,
okay.
Yeah,
John Candy's good value.
Oh, yeah.
My kids love Home Alone.
Oh, Home Alone's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's a great film. Yeah.
Airplane? Mm. You seen Airplane?
No. That's got fucking O.J. Simpson in it, doesn't it? It's got Liam Neeson. Not Liam Neeson. Fucking... I've got a very specific set of skills.
Why don't you land this plane?
No, what's his
what's
last
a
name?
Hospital?
Neeson?
It's a place with Leslie Nielsen.
Leslie Nielsen, that's it. Not Liam Neeson. Yeah, I like him. Yeah, he's very good.
I've got a very specific set of skills. This man needs to go to a hospital. What's up? What is it? It's a big building with a bunch of patients in it, but that's not important right now.
Oh, dear, oh dear.
Good times.
Okay, Mark, have we recorded a podcast?
I think so. We got a new cable, because last week...
Yeah, we got a new cable. The cable, and it seems to work. Although we had trouble locating the cable that worked.
Yeah, we didn't put the broken cable.
It does work. That's right. It doesn't matter. Anyway, well done, Mark.
Enjoy the beer.
I will. Thank you, mate. Thank you, everybody, for watching. We appreciate you coming in, especially in these quiet weeks. We really do, don't we?
We do.
Yeah. Hi, da-da.
Take care.
See ya. Bye-bye.